أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير.
Permission to fight has been granted to those who are being fought against, for they have been wronged. Verily, Allah has the power to help them. Permission to fight has been granted to those who are being fought against, for they have been wronged.
We have already mentioned in the introduction to this surah that it contains the very first verse in which leave was granted to the Muslims to engage in fighting, qital, in the way of God. The present verse, however, simply grants Muslims the permission to fight. It was only later that they were commanded to fight. The verses embodying this command are as follows. 1. Fight in the cause of Allah those who fight you. Al-Baqarah 2:190. 2. And slay them wherever you catch them, and turn them out from where they have turned you out. Al-Baqarah 2:191. 3. And fight them until there is no more oppression and the way prescribed by Allah prevails. Al-Baqarah 2:193. 4. Fighting is prescribed upon you and you dislike it. Al-Baqarah 2:216. 5. Then fight in the cause of Allah and know that Allah hears and knows all things. Al-Baqarah 2:244. There was only a short lapse of time between the granting of permission to fight and the command to do so. To the best of our knowledge, such permission was granted in Zulhijjah 1 after Hijri, while the command was given a little before the Battle of Badr, either in Rajab or Shaban 2 after Hijri.
Verily, Allah has the power to help them.
Although the Muslims were few in number, God could still make them prevail against the polytheists of Arabia. It might be noted that at the time when the Muslims were granted permission to take up arms against their tormentors, their power was limited to the confines of a small town, and the total number of Muhajirun and Ansar did not reach even the figure of 1,000. It was in this situation that the challenge was thrown down to the Quraysh, the latter enjoying the support of many polytheistic tribes of Arabia, and who, a little later on, also gained the support of the Jews. In this context, it was appropriate that the Muslims be assured that Allah, being immensely strong, overwhelmingly mighty, was fully capable of supporting them. This assurance gave them encouragement to take on the whole of Arabia. Moreover, this was also a warning to the unbelievers that they were not pitted against only a handful of Muslims, but were in fact engaged in encounter with the Almighty God. If they indeed had the power to confront him, they were welcome to try.
الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِن دِيَارِهِم بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا ولينصرن الله من ينصره إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ.
Those who were unjustly expelled from their homes for no other reason than their saying, Allah is our Lord. If Allah were not to repel some men through others, monasteries and churches and synagogues and mosques, wherein the name of Allah is much mentioned, would certainly have been pulled down. Allah will most certainly help those who will help Him. Verily, Allah is immensely strong, overwhelmingly mighty.
Those who were unjustly expelled from their homes.
This phrase makes it quite clear that this part of Surah Al-Hajj was definitely revealed after the Hijrah.
For no other reason than their saying, Allah is our Lord.
One can possibly gauge the extent of the persecution suffered by the Muslims in Makkah, forcing them to migrate to Medina, by the following incidents. When Suhaib al-Rumi was about to migrate, the unbelieving Quraysh told him that since he had arrived in Makkah empty-handed and had become rich during his stay there, he could leave only if he left all his belongings behind. Quite obviously, all that Suhaib had earned was by dint of hard work. Yet he was forced to leave everything behind, so that when he reached Medina, he was once again empty-handed. Umm Salama and her husband, Abu Salama, set out to migrate along with their suckling baby. They were stopped on the way by Banu Mughira, the tribe to which Umm Salama belonged. The relatives of Umm Salama told her husband that he was free to go wherever he wanted, but could not take along any female member of their tribe. He was thus forced to leave his wife behind. Then Banu Abdul Asad, the tribe to which Abu Salama belonged, approached him and told him that since the baby belonged to the tribe, he should also leave that behind. He was thus separated from both his wife and child, and remained so for almost a year. Likewise, Umm Salama had to live alone, and it was only after much difficulty that she managed to retrieve her baby and leave for Medina. She traveled all this distance on a camel with the baby in her lap, using routes dreaded by even armed caravans. Ayash ibn Rabia, a cousin of Abu Jahl, reached Medina along with Umar ibn al-Khattab. While on his way, Abu Jahl sent someone to Ayash with a false report that his mother had vowed that if he did not return to her, she would not move out of the scorching sun into the shade nor comb her hair. Moved by love for his mother, Ayash decided to return to Mecca. On his return journey, he was captured by his brothers and brought to Mecca tied with ropes. As he entered Mecca, one of his brothers announced, "O people of Mecca, here is an example for you to retrieve the members of your families." Ayash was interned for a long time, but eventually he was rescued by a courageous Muslim who helped him migrate to Medina. Almost everyone who dared to migrate to Medina was subjected to similar persecution. The Meccan unbelievers were callous and did not even allow these oppressed Muslims to depart in a decent manner.
If Allah were not to repel some men through others, monasteries and churches and synagogues and mosques...
The Quran uses the following expression, Savami, Bia, and Salawat. While the word Savami signifies a place inhabited by monks and ascetics, Biya and Salawat stand respectively for Christian and Jewish places of worship. Salawat is a derivative of Salota, originally an Aramaic word. It is not unlikely that the words salute and salutation derive from the word Salota, finding their way first into Latin and thereafter into English.
And mosques, wherein the name of Allah is much mentioned, would certainly have been pulled down.
It is indeed one of God's great favors that He has not bestowed perpetual power and authority on any particular group of people. On the contrary, He keeps removing one group of people from its position of power through another. Had a particular group been granted that privilege on a permanent basis, they would have destroyed virtually everything. Forts, castles, palaces, and centers of political, industrial, and commercial activity, as also places of worship. The same point is made elsewhere in the Quran. And were it not that Allah repelled men with one another, the earth would surely be overlaid with mischief. But Allah is bounteous to the people of the world. Al-Baqarah 2:251.
Allah will most certainly help those who will help Him.
That those who summon mankind to monotheism strive to establish the true faith and seek to promote righteousness in place of evil are helpers of God is a recurrent theme in the Quran. This is so because the above-mentioned tasks are God's, and those who exert themselves in the performance of these tasks thereby become His helpers. For further elaboration, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, Al-Imran 3, Note 50, page 257.
Verily, Allah is immensely strong, overwhelmingly mighty.
These are the characteristics of those who help God and who are deserving of God's aid and support. When power is bestowed on them, rather than on those who engage in evil deeds and who strut about arrogantly exulting in their power, such people concern themselves with such noble tasks like establishing prayer. Likewise, rather than squandering their wealth on luxury and self-indulgence, they use it in the way of zakah. Again, they use their power to promote goodness and to extirpate evil. This verse succinctly states the basic objective of the Islamic State. It also clearly expresses the main characteristics of its functionaries and rulers. Anyone who wants to comprehend the nature of the Islamic State will be able to do so with the help of this single verse.
الذين مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور.
Allah will certainly help those who were we to bestow authority on them in the land, will establish prayers, render zakah, enjoin good and forbid evil. The end of all matters rests with Allah. Allah will certainly help those who were we to bestow authority on them in the land, will establish prayers, render zakah, enjoin good and forbid evil. The end of all matters rests with Allah.
It is in fact God who decides to whom governance of a territory should be entrusted. People who are intoxicated with power are prone to misunderstanding that it is they who decide the fate of a people. But God, who has the power to transform a tiny seed into a huge tree, and who, conversely, can turn a huge tree into a pile of ashes, also has the power to strike a fatal blow and make an example of those who, by their acts of repression, struck terror into the hearts of people, making themselves appear too well entrenched to be removed from power. On the other hand, he can also raise the downtrodden to heights of power that none can dream of.
وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودُ.
O Prophet, if they give the lie to you, then before them the people of Noah, Ad, and Thamud also gave the lie to the prophets. O Prophet, if they give the lie to you,
this alludes to the unbelievers of Makkah.
وقوم إبراهيم وقوم لوط.
And so too did the people of Abraham and the people of Lot.
وأصحاب مدين وكذب موسى فأمليت للكافرين ثم أخذتهم فكيف كان نكير.
And so did the dwellers of Midian, and Moses too was branded a liar. Initially, I granted respite to the unbelievers for a while, and then seized them. How dreadful was my punishment! And so did the dwellers of Midian, and Moses too was branded a liar. Initially, I granted respite to the unbelievers for a while, and then seized them.
No people in the past were visited with God's scourge immediately after they rejected the prophet sent to them, calling him a liar. On the contrary, each people was granted respite several times in order that they might understand and mend their ways. Yet each of them was eventually punished after all the dictates of justice had been fully met. The unbelievers of Makkah should, therefore, not misperceive the fact that they have not as yet been punished, and they should not, therefore, look upon the warnings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as hollow and baseless. They should instead realize that the respite which they are enjoying has been granted to them in keeping with God's way of dealing with nations to whom He sends prophets. If they do not make proper use of the respite granted to them, they are bound to meet the same fate as that of their predecessors and be dealt an awesome punishment.
How dreadful was my punishment!
The word nakir used in the verse is far too rich to be adequately expressed by a one-word equivalent such as punishment. The word rather signifies two things. One, strong disapproval of someone's evil ways. Two, the infliction of a severe punishment on him, a punishment that reduces him to a miserable thing, so miserable that he does not even remain recognizable. In view of the above, the Quranic statement means that by incurring God's wrath for their misdeeds, a woeful fate has befallen them.
فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ.
How many towns have we destroyed, for their people were steeped in iniquity? so they lie fallen down upon their turrets? How many wells lie deserted, and how many towering palaces lie in ruins? How many towns have we destroyed, for their people were steeped in iniquity, so they lie fallen down upon their turrets? How many wells?
In Arabic usage, the word bir connotes well in addition to habitat. When a town is inhabited by a particular tribe, it is also mentioned by reference to its well. Likewise, if an Arab is told that all the wells are dried up, he readily understands that this alludes to the desertion and abandonment of that habitat.
أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ.
Have they not journeyed in the land that their hearts might understand and their ears might listen? For indeed, it is not the eyes that are blinded. It is rather the hearts in the breasts that are rendered blind. Have they not journeyed in the land that their hearts might understand and their ears might listen? For indeed, it is not the eyes that are blinded. It is rather the hearts in the breasts that are rendered blind.
One should not lose sight of the fact that the Quranic discourse is couched in literary rather than scientific phraseology. One should not therefore get stuck with the question of how can anyone say that the organ, the heart which is located in man's bosom, think. In literary usage, emotions, feelings, thoughts, in fact all actions of the brain are ascribed to the heart. When a person says that he remembers something, he expresses the idea by saying that such and such a thing is preserved or stored in his heart.
وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَن يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِندَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِّمَّا تَعُدُّونَ.
They ask you to hasten the punishment. Allah shall most certainly not fail His promise. But a day with your Lord is as 1,000 years of your reckoning. They ask you to hasten the punishment.
This refers to the ludicrous statement repeatedly made by the Meccan unbelievers to the effect that if Muhammad, peace be upon him, was indeed a prophet sent by God, then why had his detractors not been visited by the scourge that ought to afflict those who deny a true prophet? Why did such a scourge not specifically visit them, even though they had repeatedly been warned by their prophet that were they to deny him, they would be seized by a calamity?
Allah shall most certainly not fail His promise, but a day with your Lord is as 1,000 years of your reckoning.
It is preposterous to think that the consequences of obeying or disobeying God's injunctions can be observed instantly. If a nation is warned that a certain pattern of behavior it follows will prove catastrophic, it is absurd for them to retort that they have taken that course for the last 10, 20, or 50 years, and still no calamity has befallen them. For it often takes not days, months, or years, but centuries for the consequences of a people's behavior to become fully evident.
قرية أمليت لها وهي ظالمة ثم أخذتها وإلي المصير.
How many towns did I respite at first, though they were steeped in iniquity, and then I seized them. To me are all destined to return.